Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thank you so much for being with us today, this beautiful Tuesday in Florida, in Central Florida. I am actually pulling a little double duty right now, hanging out at a home inspection and talking to you, you know, but I'm in the shade, but I'm still enjoying the Florida weather. So thank you for being with us today. So today is a special day because it is the Founders Day. We honor the Founders Day of the American Red Cross. So this is a national celebration of that day. And so today we have Anthony Trinetta from the American Red Cross on with us today to talk about the celebration. Anthony, are you there? Good morning. He's not with us yet, so hopefully we'll have him on soon. But anyway, those of you that are familiar, if you've been through just about any type of natural disaster, whether it's a storm or a fire, you know, any of that, then you can appreciate some of the work of the American Red Cross. American Red Cross has helped to provide, you know, some transitional shelter for people who have been burned out of their homes or who have lost, you know, had some damage to their home because of storms or whatever. And they also provide a variety of services such as CPR training and other types of training for people who are in need of trying to, you know, help others. They work locally and then they work nationally too. So we're supposed to have Anthony Trinetta on. So as soon as we get him on, we're going to talk a little bit more about the American Red Cross. So today's their Founders Day. Anyway, the number, if you want to chat today, is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. Also, while we're waiting for Anthony, I wanted to tell you or remind you, some of you may have heard yesterday, but I wanted to tell you, we are starting a G's Power Hour book club, book review of different books. Thursday, I will have Vice and Mental Health Counselor Kathy Booker and author Stephanie Dukes on, my buddies. You've heard them on before. We will announce the book. On Thursday, we will announce the book that we are going to be reading and reviewing. And if you want to be a part of that, you know, just let me know. Reach out on the G's Power Hour Facebook page and let me know. But we will make that announcement on this Thursday. And then on the fourth Thursday of every month, we will be reviewing the book that we've announced the previous month. So whatever book we announce on this coming Thursday, on the fourth Thursday of next month of June, we will be chatting about and reviewing, and we'd like to have you as part of that conversation. So tune in on Thursday, and we will be talking about that. Then on this coming Friday, we will have a guest on from the carnival that's going to take place this weekend. On Saturday, there's a Caribbean carnival that they have every year that's going to be here. And we have someone on that is going to talk about what you can expect to participate in, to enjoy, that's coming up on this weekend. So this, and if, by the way, on Friday, if there are things that you know of that are coming up on the weekend that you want to share with other people, just let us know. The numbers, like I said, the number is 516-387-1944. But please also feel free to share it on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. You know, if there's something going on, like, for example, we had Chef C yesterday that was telling us about the upcoming Juneteenth celebration, their first one in Leesburg that's happening on June 1st. And I've already got responses on that because there were people that were looking for something to celebrate for Juneteenth. So we have that coming up as well. But anyway, the number is 516-387-1944. Like I said, today we're celebrating the Founders of Day of the American Red Cross. But we're going to take a quick break. This is G's Power Hour. I never had so good entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hey there. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. Anthony, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Glad to have you on. So
Thank you for having me.
I was pleased to find out about the celebration of the Founders of American Red Cross. And so we, you know, see them and we were there by our consequences. But I'm glad you're on because I wanted you to kind of share a little bit more, give us a little more insight about how the Red Cross was formed and for what purpose and the purpose they currently serve and what the needs are.
Yeah, so in 1881, the American Red Cross was founded by Clara Barton, who was at the time, she was a school teacher, but she was very well known for her nursing care and comfort and food that she would provide to the troops during the Civil War. Following the Civil War, she traveled to Geneva and learned a little bit more about the Switzerland-based Red Cross, and she took what she learned there and brought it back here to the States. And since that time, we have been a learning-based organization that just has continued to grow and develop into this humanitarian organization here in the United States that is standing ready to help any and all people here in the United States that need humanitarian assistance, whether you're impacted by a home fire or you're trying to learn a summer, you know, we're getting ready for the summer months right now, and how many kids are out there either taking swimming lessons or learning CPR so they can get their first job as a lifeguard or just want to be prepared if they're on the beach or they're swimming in the pool with their friends. So we provide those classes and courses. And then, of course, you think of all of the large-scale national disasters. I mean, just last night we had, I think in Oklahoma and Texas alone, I think there was almost 20 tornadoes that touched down, and the Red Cross was standing by and prepared to assist those that have been impacted there, to wildfires in California, to mass shootings. Believe it or not, we respond to mass shootings and mass casualty events, and we're there to help and provide spiritual care and disaster mental health as well. So if you can think of, if you're seeing an event unfold on TV, chances are the American Red Cross is involved in one way or another trying to provide and alleviate human suffering.
So how many, I guess you could say, maybe branches are there of the American Red Cross? I mean, I'm sure you have a base of operation, but then you have other, I guess, smaller bases of operations and other municipalities, and, you know, and what are the sizes? I guess that's based on the size of the municipality as well.
Yeah, sure. So we currently have about 270 Red Cross chapters across the country. We have 60, that's broken up. Each chapter falls into a regional footprint, which is about 60 regions and 7 divisions. So we kind of build it up that way so that we have accountability and we know where everybody's at and our resources are allocated to help as appropriate. And so whether you're in the foothills of the Poconos in northeastern Pennsylvania or you're in Los Angeles or New York City, or you're down in Key West, Florida, there's an American Red Cross standing by, ready to help. And the amazing thing about all of these different facilities and all of these different regions and divisions is that Yes, we have staff members that help operate the Red Cross mission, but 90% of our workforce is made up of volunteers. So it's truly volunteers. It's truly people helping people, neighbors helping neighbors. Roughly across the country, we have about 370,000 American Red Cross volunteers, whether they be nurses, whether they be social workers, whether they be EMTs that just want to volunteer their time to help people during times of disaster, and even not during times of disaster, teaching CPR classes, going out into communities and installing free working smoke alarms for those that don't have them. It really is an organization made up of people that just want to help other people.
So let me ask you this. So let's say I want to help, but I really have no skills to bring to the table, per se. I'm not a doctor or a nurse. I'm mm-hmm. not an engineer. I'm not a firefighter or a police officer. How do I fit in? What can I do? Can anybody come in and say, I want to help?
If you have a will, we have a way. And so if you have a desire to give back to your community, if you have a desire to help people, we can work with you. Whether, you know, we have people, we have volunteers that are photographers, the professional photographers by trade. That's what they've done for a career. And they want to volunteer their time, and they volunteer to go out and take pictures of our teams at work. We have volunteers that just want to answer the phones. We have volunteers that like to go out and put a blanket on somebody and hand them a cup of coffee after a home fire. We have whatever it is that you want to do, and even if it's something that you don't know you want to do, but you see the Red Cross doing it and you're interested, we'll train you. We'll put you in a position to succeed because we want you to go out and we want you to be successful in helping people because a lot of times the public's perception of the American Red Cross is that experience that they've had. And so I'll give you an example. I was a member of the United States Navy for just about 7 years, and my last tour was in Pascagoula, Mississippi, just before the ship was there, just before Hurricane Katrina came through. And Katrina wrecked the shipyard that we were stationed in, and we literally and figuratively had to dig our way off of the ship and out of the shipyard. And so when we did, the first thing we saw was an American Red Cross shelter at one of the local high schools. And so, you know, after we were able to get set up, we actually volunteered our time with the American Red Cross at that shelter, helping people, giving them water, giving them food, making sure the shelter was in tip-top shape. So they had some sort of normalcy in a really unnormal situation. And that was my first experience with the American Red Cross. Now, here I am. I've been with the organization for going on 11 years now. And I still look back at my first interaction with the organization, and that's what drove me to this place. So we want your experiences in volunteering with us. Like I said, no matter if you're just answering phones in the local chapter, or you're helping respond to a home fire, or you're running out to disasters, or if you're just there to put an arm around somebody and talk to them and give them a cup of coffee, we want to train you. We want to make sure that you feel comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to do. Before you go out and do that. So we want to make sure you can do that. And anyone that's listening that's interested in gathering more information or learning about some of the unique volunteer opportunities, they can visit redcross.org. That's redcross.org/volunteer. And when you go there, you'll see a list of, I believe it will ask you to put in your zip code, and you'll be able to see all of the available volunteer opportunities with the American Red Cross in your community. And if you don't see something that you're interested in, just call. Pick up the phone and call the Red Cross and say, hey, I have this unique skill. You know, for someone like yourself, you think you don't have anything to offer, but I can tell you that we have communications teams. We have public affairs teams that do radio interviews and do media opportunities. And so, you know, whether it's coaching the local teams up on some media training or working with them on how to better get in front of get on radio programs and how to do those interviews is a unique skill set that our teams value, and we welcome volunteers like that.
Okay, so what determines whether the Red Cross is involved? Do you end up volunteering when you see something happening, like a hurricane or a fire or whatever, or are you called in?
Yeah, so the Red Cross is we're not a government agency. We're not a state agency. We're not a local agency. We're a nonprofit organization mandated by Congress to respond during times of disaster. So that's exactly what we do. But typically what will happen is local, national, or state officials will call and say, depending on the size and scope of an emergency or of a disaster, I'll give you an example. I live in the Philadelphia area, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and so at one point there was a severe water main break, and it flooded the streets, and people had to be evacuated, and the people that were evacuated from those homes needed a place to go because it was in the middle of the night, so we needed a place to go for them to rest, to get out of there, and it was in the middle of the winter, so we needed some safe place for them to go. So the local Office of Emergency Management called us, the American Red Cross, their partners. We worked together with local high school. We set up a shelter, and we provided a safe place for the community members to go to get out of the weather and stay dry and get something to eat, spend the night, and then when it was safe to start going back into their homes and figuring out next steps, we worked with them through that process. And then you look at larger scale disasters like these massive hurricanes that have been happening over the last couple of years. Same thing there. We'll work with FEMA and state officials to determine where shelters are set up at, and then we will come out and help operate those shelters or operate the shelters in partnership with some of the schools and community members to make sure that we're providing those in the affected communities with the necessary resources. But I will continue to say that this is any response during an emergency is not done by the Red Cross alone. It is a total team effort from federal agencies to local agencies, state agencies, and community members. It takes what do they say? It takes a village, right? So same thing with a disaster, and we do this in partnership with all of our partners across the country to respond to these disasters.
How do you determine how large or type of team that you need to be sent out into the field?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'll say that a large majority of the disasters that we respond to, believe it or not, are home fires. And so it just depends on the size and scope of the disaster. Whether if it's a single family home fire in the middle of the night, we're probably going to send a handful of Red Cross volunteers and a Red Cross team to help them. But if it's a larger disaster, it obviously is impacted by the population size. We have a unique software program called RCView. R as in Robert, C as in Charlie, RC View, and that has it has an ability for us to see from a landscape perspective, from a geography perspective, from a community base, how many homes may be impacted by that disaster, and then we'll then work with community shelter or community members to see, do we need to set up a shelter? Do we need to set up multiple shelters? Do we just need to set up a warning center? That's a little bit different than a shelter. It's a place where people can come, get out of the weather, get out of the impacted area, dry off. You hear me say dry off because typically when shelters happen, in a lot of cases we're looking at these hurricanes or even wildfires, unfortunately, but people need to get out of the weather, get out of the elements. How many people we send is based off of size and scope. Each response is very, very different. Whether it's a massive Category 3 or 4 hurricane to an apartment fire that impacts 50 or 60 people, it will depend greatly on the population. It will depend greatly on the size and the geography of the area as well.
Now, I know sometimes, depending on the situation, you have to bring in people from other areas. How much notice does and I guess what if you're volunteering? What I want to know is what do you need to, I guess, to be on standby and be ready to go? And does everybody that I guess you call have to be able and willing to go when you call?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So we actually, again, we come back to, what we do, 90% of our workforce are volunteers, and it is those volunteers that at a moment's notice will drop what they have going on and what we call deploy. They will deploy to an impacted area to help and assist those affected by these large-scale disasters. What we'll do is again, we will train you. You will not, if somebody's listening to your program and they go on redcross.org/volunteer today, they find a unique opportunity, they plug in their information. Just because you plug in your information doesn't mean today is Tuesday, doesn't mean on Thursday we're going to send you to Oklahoma to help with the tornado response. But what we will do is we'll meet with you, we'll train you, we'll prep you, we'll have you do some local response efforts. We'll make sure that you get the necessary skills and training to go help at a later date. And so once you get that training, for example, you know, I use myself as an example. If I get a call that, hey, you know, my last deployment was during the wildfires out in the West Coast, on the West Coast, you know, I got a call and I don't remember what the date was, but hypothetically it was a Thursday. By Friday afternoon, I was on an airplane with my bags packed heading to the wildfire impacted area to help those that were there. So it is a fairly quick turnaround. You're there for anywhere from 7 to 14 days. We do set parameters on how long you can be there because it is an emotional and physical drain on our teams and our volunteers, so we do a really, really good job of rotating team members in and out of the impacted areas of the disaster so that they, from a mental standpoint, stay focused. They have a clear thought process into how they're helping people, because if we're not taking care of our team members, then we're not going to be able to take care of those that have been impacted. So that's part number two. And then we want them, once they get home, to get some time off and relax and recuperate, because the unfortunate reality is that we're seeing more and more of these disasters as we move forward.
So when they come back, is there a type of, is there like a debriefing or counseling that's provided? Because they are disasters. They are tough situations, you know, and you see a lot of destruction. You may even see not only people injured, but lives lost. So how does the Red Cross help the volunteers cope with that?
Yeah, we have psychological first aid. We have disaster mental health volunteers that are in contact with each of our team members as they deploy. What will typically happen, and again, I can reference my experiences. I went to some flooding in the Carolinas probably about 5 years ago, and you know, the first phone call I got from the time when I first hit the ground in North Carolina was from our disaster mental health team member, just checking on me, making sure I had everything that was needed, if I had a place to stay. Typically we'll stay in what we have, you know, we talk about the community members having to stay in shelters when they're impacted by disasters. Our teams do as well. We have what we call staff sheltering, where we put all Red Crossers into a shelter so we know where they are, we know they're safe, we know we can, you know, there's nobody scrambling for meals, there's nobody scrambling to get electricity to plug in their devices or whatever it may be. We have a shelter set up for our staff and volunteers to stay at. So they make sure that you have all that, you go do your job. And then for me, you know, I can tell you when I left North Carolina, I had gotten a call from our disaster mental health team member. As I had gotten off the airplane, they knew what time of my flight was. They knew roughly I should have been off the flight by that time. They called me. I was in the car driving home, and it was an emotional deployment for me that time. I had met a young girl who was probably three, four years old. I met her sister. And her two brothers, and I have young ones myself, and so it's not uncommon for me to get on the floor, and I was, you know, playing with the kids, and one of our other team members was standing talking to the father, and, you know, I heard, the little girl said to me, she had left for a minute, and then she came back with this cardboard cutout that she had drawn on a cardboard cutout. I love the Red Cross, you're always there for me, thank you. And at the time, I was like, oh, that's so nice. You know, of course, we're always here to help. And then she turned to her two brothers, and she said, these are my two brothers. I used to have three. And just minutes later, I heard her father talking to our team members saying that, yeah, they were impacted by a home fire just a few months before that, And, you know, obviously I put two and two together, and you understand that they had lost one of their children in a home fire. And so it was just an emotional experience, and that's the type of things that we see every day when we respond to these disasters. And so after my mental health volunteer had called me and we talked through my deployment and how things went, you know, I hung up the phone and I was driving home. I had about a 45-minute ride home, and here I am, you know, bawling my eyes out in the car because I felt like I needed to do more. I felt like I needed to go back. I needed to help more. But then, you know, I thought about it, and I thought about what our mental health team had said to me, and realized that you did your job. I went, I helped, I talked to the people. You know, we did what we set out to do, and there's people that were coming in, qualified people coming in behind me to keep the mission moving forward. And so that's what we did, and we continue to be there. And that's just one example. I'm just one of like I said, 370,000 people that do this every single day, day or night, hot or cold, man-made or natural disasters, our teams are there.
What is the average time of deployment for Red Cross volunteers?
So it'll range, depending on your skill set, depending on what you're set out to do. It could range from 7 days to 14 days. Typically, it's not any more than 14 days. And even if you do, sometimes we have what we call virtual deployments. And so we have a virtual team that will, whether it's for example, the psychological first aid team or the disaster mental health teams will do a virtual deployment where they call you just to check in on you, see how things are going. It's still draining on them just as well. They may not physically pack a bag and get on an airplane and go somewhere, but they take a toll on them as well. So they you know, typically 7 to 14 days.
I heard you talk a couple of times about packing a bag. What is usually in that Red Cross volunteer bag?
Yeah, so it's going to depend on what you're deploying to do, but I guarantee you there's going to be a Red Cross vest in that bag. I guarantee you there's going to be some water. We're going to make sure they're going to make sure they have some snacks, some fresh clothes. Don't overpack, don't underpack. You want to make sure it's just right, but you only get that through experience, and a whole lot of emotion and a whole lot of heart are in that bag as well. So there's a lot going into some. You know, sometimes people are just taking carry-on bags, but you know, it's a lot of emotion is in that bag for sure.
Do the same team members usually work with each other in every situation?
No, you know, we try to do things in a way that are smart, and what I mean by that is if somebody, you know, some of our volunteers are in Seattle, Washington, we may not deploy them to some flooding that takes place in the state of Maryland, and vice versa. If we have people in Virginia, you know, we may not send them all the way to California for the wildfire. Now, we do, on occasion, we do that. But we try to work with the people that are in those areas as best as possible to work smarter, not harder. Because if you think about it, if they call me in Philadelphia, you know, and they need me to go to Seattle, Washington, by the time I pack my bag, get a flight, probably a layover, probably another flight, get in, it's nighttime, you're losing almost a full day of assistance that you can be providing. So we make sure that we make sure that we try to do it in a smart fashion to get as many people there in a safe way as possible. Now, we also take a look at the size and scope of the potential disaster on where and where we're bringing people from. You look at some of these large, massive hurricanes that have happened over the years. We're bringing people in from all across the country to help with that. And I'll say this, as someone who does call on my volunteer teams to go, yes, I've deployed, but I also call on many. I have a team of about 100 or so volunteers that help me carry out our mission from our role, and I would say that not only myself but the other leaders in our organization, we don't lose focus on the fact that we're asking people to grab their go bags, grab their bags, and head into a disaster-impacted area, and we don't take that lightly. So when we make those decisions, we're making them in a fashion that's best not only for the volunteers, not only for the organization, but for the people that have been impacted. So it's a three-pronged approach in how you do that as well.
We are here with volunteer Anthony Tornetta, who's a spokesperson for the National American Red Cross. This is National American Red Cross Founders Day, and we are celebrating their efforts. We thank you all for what you do. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to ask you, Anthony, a little bit more. You guys support everybody else through disasters. We want to know about how the American Red Cross, which is a volunteer organization, gets support. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. By the way, if you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. I'm here with Anthony Tornetta of the American Red Cross. This is National American Red Cross Founders Day. And I wanted to ask you, because you are a volunteer organization, where do you get your funding? Because, I mean, obviously these are expensive undertakings. Where do you get your funding?
Yeah, so we're not a government agency, so we receive, I don't want to say zero, but very limited resources from a financial perspective from the federal government. Our money, our ability to respond comes from the American people, whether it be corporations, large and small, from the size of Amazon to as small as sometimes local convenience stores that do fundraising events for the Red Cross. So from that perspective, and then it's from your listeners. It's from people that can text the word Red Cross to 90999, and it makes a $10 donation to the organization. To people that are seeing some of the pictures unfold on TV, or listening on the radio and hearing how devastating some areas are, and they're writing checks for $10 or $15 or $25 or $150, whatever they can afford. No donation is too big or too small, and the great thing about that is, you know, obviously it's about 91 cents of every dollar that is donated goes right back into the community so that we're helping those that have been impacted. So we make sure we're excellent donors of the donor dollar, or we navigate, we use the money basically that's donated, and we're really good stewards of the donor dollar. So we make sure that we're spending it wisely in ways that help the people that have been impacted. And then, you know, we also have a need for blood. The need for blood is constant. You know, we talk about these major disasters that happen. You know, we talked about this weekend, we're getting ready to come up on Memorial Day. A lot of people are going to be taking the day off. We head into the summer months, kids are out of school. And that severely impacts our blood supply. And our ability to maintain a stable blood supply through the summer months. And so we ask people to get out and donate money, donate blood. And so, you know, it's one of three ways we're looking for people to help us. Either you're donating money, you're donating blood, or you're donating your time. Or you can do all three. You can do two. Whatever you have the ability to do, we welcome it. But all of it goes to helping people. And so, you know, I talked about donating blood. You know, we're actually, right now we're currently in a type O emergency appeal for blood, which means that if you're a listener of G's Power Hour and you know your blood type is type O, please call your local Red Cross, make a blood donation appointment because that blood is needed. There's no days off for the hospital patients that need transfusions. There's no, you know, if you have people battling cancer, you have people that need blood products. We have one of our team members is actually, he was impacted by a severe car accident. I think he needed about 36 units of blood, and this was about 15 or so years ago. But that, because that blood was on the shelves at the time, it helped save his life. And to the point where he's now running marathons, and he's an ultra marathon runner. He's just an amazing person. But he doesn't forget. It doesn't fall short on him that if the blood was not on the shelves at that time, his life could have been cut short significantly. And so, you know, it's stories like that that make what we do real, and it makes it impactful. And so, like I said, if we're encouraging anyone that's out there that's listening, that's eligible to donate blood, call us, visit us online at redcrossblood.org for more information on a blood drive near you. So it's one of the three ways that we function is through personal and corporate donations, financial donations, volunteers, and blood donations. So that's how we make it happen.
Okay, so I wanted to kind of clarify something or at least, you know, get something straight. In terms of, like, Central Florida, for example, you all work with a blood organization, because I think here it's when I've asked before, and that's why I want to make sure I get it straight. Donations here are usually done through One Blood.
Correct.
So,
if you're based in Florida, you have a local blood center that does do that. There are some states that's the case. The American Red Cross does not collect blood in the state of Florida. We can assist. We can send blood products there if asked and needed. But One Blood does do that, and they do an excellent job of collecting blood in the state. And, you know, we fully support anyone that's willing to get out and donate blood. You know, obviously, if they're not in the state of Florida, we encourage them to visit a blood center, a Red Cross blood center, and donate blood. But if they're in the state of Florida and they're donating with One Blood, by all means, as long as they're helping save lives, we fully support that. You know, the Red Cross network across the country provides approximately 40% of the overall nation's blood supply. But that's there's still another 60% to be made up, and that's done by blood centers like One Blood. That, you know, we're all in the business of saving lives when it comes to that perspective.
Do you all do any type of annual fundraisers?
We do. We do a lot of. We have a lot of unique opportunities for people to get out and donate financially through fundraising events. What I would encourage your listeners to do is visit redcross.org, put in your zip code, and what it'll do is it'll drive you to your local Red Cross page, and they're the ones that are going to need you to jump in and help. And whether you're helping organize and run those fundraisers, whether you're helping by donating money, you know, we have everything from what we call Heroes Breakfast, where we recognize members of the community that have gone above and beyond, and we're raising money through those efforts, to these gala events where we get together for that, or we even have what we call Giving Day. It's a nationwide Red Cross fundraising day where we collect money across the country for 24 hours, and we call it Giving Day. And on Giving Day, everybody gets a chance to be a part of this amazing cause, and we've been doing it for about 5 or 6 years now, and it just continues to grow, and it continues to become a more impactful event every year. But what I want your listeners to know is that the need is constant, and I say that about blood, but it's really about carrying out the Red Cross mission. And so, you know, if you're donating because of a fundraising event, that's excellent. If you're donating because you see a disaster on TV and you're so moved to help, we appreciate that. But even when that's not happening, we still need your support. We still need you to think about how you can help the Red Cross, because, again, when we started this conversation, it's people helping people. You know, I can tell you a story about a young child that opened a lemonade stand, and he collected – he was literally selling glasses of lemonade to neighbors and to people that were walking by, and I think he made about $57 or so in change You know, some loose $1 bills here, a $10 bill there, but mostly change. And he took that to his local Red Cross in a baggie, and he made that donation to the organization. And so it's things like that, because he saw a story on the news. It's things like that that are helping us help people. And so, like I said, you're never too old to donate blood. You're never too young to learn about the mission of the Red Cross and how important it is to give back.
I wanted to ask you about things that you've learned from the impact of other disasters, such as Irma and Max. And we're coming up on hurricane season in less than 2 weeks. So, and also, you know, we have something, although it's not supposed to impact us, but something's already forming out in Atlanta, storm. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the lessons that you've learned from some of the recent disasters and how you are and planning on applying them in future situations.
Yeah, so, you know, it's Red Cross Founders Day, right? We started in 1881, and so, you know, it's now 2019, right? And so we're a learning-based organization, and we would not be here still standing today stronger than ever if we weren't a learning-based organization. So I can tell you that we have learned a lot through these large-scale disasters. And as you said, there's a formation already out in the Atlantic. I was happy to see the diagram showing it not really coming this way towards the East Coast. But we've learned to be better prepared with where we position or pre-position our resources, where we have team members at, how quickly we get team members in and out of a disaster, where and when we set up shelters, higher ground areas as opposed to just finding a structure that's suited, making sure it's in a safe area. Working with our partners is something that, you know, it really is a true effort, and we've learned how to work better with partners through the years. Some partners are better at certain skill sets than we are, and so we all stay in our lane. We make sure that we're working as one cohesive team to make sure that we're providing safety for those that have been impacted by disasters, big and small.
And can you talk again about who are the other teams, other organizations that you normally work with that help out?
Yeah, absolutely. It really depends on the size. You'll hear me say this a lot when we talk about disaster preparedness. So we talk about the size and scope of the disaster. So, for example, if it's a small home fire, if it's an apartment fire in the city of Miami, for example, because you're in Florida, let's use that as an example. God forbid that happens, but let's say it does, and it's an apartment fire, and it affects about 15 people. Local Red Cross would work with the city Office of Emergency Management and the local fire department, and they would be primarily your three resources. Now, if we're getting on a larger scale, we're looking at Hurricane Matthew or Hurricane Irma, we're looking at these large scale named, so to speak, disasters, you're going to look at, you know, we're going to work with partners like FEMA, we're going to work with state government officials. We're going to work with the local Office of Emergency Management as well. We'll work with partners to make sure that we have plenty of food. We'll work with, and it will differ depending on where you are in the country. So that's why I can't give you specific names on who or what organizations, but, you know, there's so many people that want to help. There's so many people that want to do the right thing. And so we just work and strive together to make sure that we're all trending in the right direction.
We are honoring National American Red Cross Founders Day today. This is G's Power Hour. I never had so good entertainment. I am here with Anthony Tornetta, one of the spokespersons and also volunteers with the American Red Cross. And we wanted to make sure that you had the information about the Red Cross, so if you wanted to volunteer in some way, whether it's dollars, donations of blood, or donations of time, you would know what the Red Cross is really about. But we're going to take a quick break. The number, if you want to call, is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Gretchen Dimp Simmons with Farrell Realty, but you know me as G from G's Power Hour. Much of the time when I'm not engaging with you on my show, I'm dealing in real estate in beautiful Central Florida. But because I'm here, that doesn't mean I can't help you wherever you are. So if you're looking to buy, invest, relocate, rent, or sell, please give me a call at 407-968-9387. That's 407-968-9387, and let me help you with your real estate needs.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Here with Anthony Tornetta of the American Red Cross. It is National American Red Cross Founders Day today. And I wanted to ask you, I know you were talking about the little boy that did the lemonade fundraiser and everything, but I wanted to just talk about under normal circumstances, what is the criteria to get involved in terms of age, in terms of physical ability and all of that? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. So to donate blood, typically I think you have to be 17 years old and you have to weigh approximately 110 pounds. But in some states you can be 16 years old with parental consent. Now, for donating blood, we follow the policies and guidelines of the Food and Drug Administration. So that for a list of potential reasons you could be deferred from donating blood, it could range anywhere from you're not feeling well to medications you're taking to places you've traveled. So if you're considering donating blood and you've never donated before, I would say visit redcrossblood.org for more information on how and where and for that process. If you're just looking to kind of get involved, you're looking to contact your local Red Cross. I mean, you know, I know you're in Florida. You have some amazing Red Cross chapters in Florida. You have some really passionate Red Crossers that have been around for a long time and given back and have helped a lot. I would say visit the local Red Cross, redcross.org for that one. Put in your zip code. You'll find the local Red Cross. Give them a call or look online, see what opportunities are out there. If you have the will, we have the way. We work with all anyone that's motivated. We will find a way to get you involved. There's no limits to what we can help make happen in getting a Red Cross volunteer into the team and involved. I mean, we have people that are like I said earlier, 14, 15 years old. Obviously, we encourage them to come with their guardians or their parents. To people that are in their 80s that are still helping and volunteering the organization, and everybody in between. We have people that have some physical limitations, but they have the will, and so we find a way to make it happen. As long as you're in this for the right cause, we'll work with you. We'll figure out a way to make it happen, and we just appreciate the effort in helping. As I said earlier, people helping people, we appreciate you kind of getting involved with us.
Do you all have people that do outreach that go out to local organizations and to churches and the schools and stuff like that?
We do. We have a number of people. We have, especially on the blood side, but also we have this program called Sound the Alarm. And it's a program that we started in 2014. Sound the Alarm is designed to cut the chance of a fire fatality, of people passing away or dying in a home fire. As I said, we respond to approximately 66,000 disasters a year. Most of those are home fires. So we launched this campaign called Sound the Alarm. It is in Florida. It is across the country. Since its inception, we've installed approximately 1.7 million smoke alarms across the country. We've helped save almost 600,000 lives I'm sorry, not 600,000. That's a bad number. Let me walk that one back. A lot of numbers here. Almost 600 lives across the country. And what we mean by that is that we've installed one of those 1.7 million smoke alarms that were installed went off in a home that had a home fire, and the people were able to get out. So that's making an impact in our community. It's making a difference, and that's all done by volunteers. It's all done by people that are getting out, and they're canvassing their neighborhoods. They're knocking on doors. They're asking. They're going into churches. They're going into community-based centers, the YMCAs of the world, and they're saying, you know, hey, we have this program called Family Alarm. Who needs working smoke alarms? If you don't have them, the Red Cross can provide them for you free of charge. And if you do have them and you don't need working smoke alarms, come on out and join us. Let's canvas some streets. Let's install some smoke alarms together. Let's make a difference. And it really is truly making a difference in the communities. We've partnered with fire companies across the country to really make it happen.
I also wanted to go back to ask you something about the training. For example, someone that's come in and wants to be trained in CPR, is there a cost to the volunteer associated with any of the training that happens?
So for the volunteers, if you're looking to take a class, is that what you're saying as a volunteer?
Yeah, to the volunteers. I was wondering if there was any cost to the volunteers for any of the training that you do.
Volunteer training is free, but if you're going to take a CPR class, there's a minimal cost involved in the class because there's some resources that we have to gather to make the classes happen. So there's a minimal cost for the CPR classes, but if a volunteer is looking to get training, their training will be free of charge because they're going to be volunteering their time, and so that's cost enough for us.
Does the American Red Cross ever volunteer outside of the country?
Yes, we do. We have we actually have a young lady in the Chicago area that just came back. She did about a four to six week deployment to Mozambique in the impacted area there that recently happened, and it was a really emotional experience for her. But we do send American Red Cross internationally, but it's on a case-by-case basis. And so what I mean by that is most of your listeners, if they decide to sign up to become a Red Cross volunteer, they're probably not going to be deploying internationally. It's very far and few between volunteers that do go, and it all depends on the host country and the support that they need. We have a network of Red Cross communities, Red Crescent team members across the world that work very closely together during times of disaster, big and small. And so they network together to see what resources we need and where we need them and who has the best available skill set for something specific. And that's how we decide when to send them. In most cases, you know, like I said, it's very far and few between where we actually send a team member overseas internationally to help. We have sent some team members to Canada during the wildfires a few years back. We have sent some team members to Mexico not recently, but about 4 years ago when they had a big earthquake. And vice versa, they have sent some volunteer members, both of those Canada and Mexico have sent some team members. You know, we had Hurricane Harvey and other major wildfires in the past year. So we do work collaboratively across borders for helping the countries during times of disaster make sure that they're getting the resources they need.
Okay. So, I appreciate, you know, anybody that's going over to help out in Mozambique because the situation is really dire over there. I do want to ask, you know, like I said, we do have hurricane season coming upon us quickly. Do you all give any type of tips or advice to residents who are trying to figure out how to prepare in some way, shape, or form for the upcoming season?
Yeah, so as far as preparing for the upcoming hurricane season, you know, obviously June 1st marks the start of the official hurricane season, although as you and I spoke earlier, we have formed some activity going on in the Atlantic now, although minor. You know, we really encourage people, now's the time. You know, we as an organization stress and stress some more about being prepared. preparedness. You know, there's three simple steps you can do. You know, you can make a kit, develop a plan, and be informed. You know, and listening to programs like yours is one way that you can be informed. You know, you can put out, we're talking all things Red Cross today, and hopefully someone is sitting at home and is listening to our conversation and they've decided to go to redcross.org and find out about ways that they can prepare their emergency kit, or they can develop an evacuation plan and be informed. They're doing that by listening to you, but they can also listen to their local news stations as far as weather services go and when and where. You know, I watched an interesting story on one of the national networks about what people should do in Oklahoma and Texas if a tornado hits and where they go and how they have these little spaces in the ground that they actually go into. And inside this space, the host or the anchor that the segment was inside this space, and she was showing exactly what we preach as Red Crossers. They had an emergency kit with non-perishable food, plenty of water. They had some extra charging devices or batteries, wireless charging devices for their devices, because they knew they were going to have to spend the night underground in this safety area. I forget what they're called. I'm sure I should know it, but it's skipping my mind right now. But that's exactly what we stress for those type of disasters, is being prepared, that the kit and the food and everything is already in place, so when they had to evacuate their house, or they do have to evacuate their house, all they have to worry about is themselves just going and getting in there. What we encourage people to do is make sure that you have everything you need now. So if you have to go in the middle of the night, you just grab that bag and you go. I would also encourage people to make an evacuation plan. Sometimes you're forced to evacuate an area due to flash flooding. You're forced to evacuate an area due to some kind of disaster, and you may not be together as a family. So have a location or a point of interest that you know if you're separated, you can go meet together. Make sure you have your ID with you. Make sure you figure out what you're going to take with you when you do evacuate. And so just be prepared. If it's a named, we talk about hurricane season, we talk about these named storms. The one good thing about hurricanes is that it's very rare that they just drop out of the sky on top of us, like the tornado that we were talking about earlier. So we have a little bit more time to plan. And when you plan, you know, we a lot of people joke about, oh, there's, you know, you go to the grocery store and it's a madhouse and everybody's there and they're getting their bread and they're getting their milk and they're getting their eggs. But that's what you should be doing. You should go out ahead of time. If you notice that there's a named storm about 24 hours out, 48 hours out, go get your non-perishable foods. Go get extra bottles and case gallons of water. Go get an extra supply of your medications if you have to take a daily medication. Talk about your evacuation plan. Walk through your evacuation plan. If you're in a flood, an area that's prone to flooding, maybe you need to leave before the storm makes landfall or the storm starts. Maybe you need to go to one of the Red Cross shelters. And you can find those Red Cross shelters by downloading. We have, if you have an Android or Apple device, we have a great resource for you. It's called our Red Cross Emergency app. And you can download that app and plug in your zip code. And then that app will give you weather alerts. That it will ping your phone and give you a weather alert. It will ping your phone and tell you if you need to find, if you are evacuating a day or two ahead of time and need to find a Red Cross shelter, it will tell you the shelters within miles of your house, the shelters states in different states across the country. So you can find a safe place to go. That app will also help you with first aid tips and safety tips on how to be prepared during different kinds of disasters. You know, we talk about tornadoes, but there's also the wildfires, and there's also severe winter weather when you have these major blizzards in different parts of the country, or you have massive flooding because of hurricane season. So, you know, depending on what that is, it's a great resource. It's completely free. You don't have to be a Red Cross volunteer. You don't have to be a blood donor. You don't have to have donated money. It's a free app that we want everyone in America to download and have it on their mobile device and have it ready to go with them, because when you leave, it's going to provide some vital information for you. The other thing we want you to do is make sure that you have extra charging cords and extra you know, some of these wireless batteries that you can plug your device into and charge. Make sure you have those. And just be use common sense. Listen to the local newscast and be prepared. If you're ever unsure, like I said, you can always call the local Red Cross and we'll give you those safety tips. If you want to talk to somebody about those safety tips, we'll talk you through it. But, you know, a great resource is the website and that app. And the website, again, is redcross.org. The app is Red Cross Emergency App, and it's on both Apple and Android devices.
Anthony Trinetta, thank you so much for being with us today. We're going to post all that information on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time, your dedication, and the information that you've shared with us today.
Gee, thank you for having us on, and we appreciate your support in helping us get this message out. And we hope that we just one listener today, we hope that with just one listener we've motivated to either donate blood, become a volunteer, or maybe even make a financial donation. So thank you so much for your time, and thank you for your support as well.
Okay. We appreciate you being on. And thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Have a very blessed day, everyone. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.